Tell us a little bit about, your perspective on, is there any one of these three that's a little more fascinating than the other? Pittsburgh and Cincinnati next week goes now on the night, and we won't know what it means for Cincinnati until they play tonight against Peyton Manning and the Broncos. Detroit at Lambeau, haven't won there in over 20 years, and obviously Carolina, Atlanta. No one can quite believe this is for a home game in the NFL playoffs, but indeed it is.
Boy, it really is. And I looked at the schedule a couple weeks ago and looking at these teams right now coming down to decide. It's amazing with all the setups. And when it gets down to the last game and it's a kind of a winner-take-all deal, it's going to be very interesting.
When you look at the AFC right now, and I think maybe at one point this team was Indy, but things have kind of gone the wrong way over the last month or so. If there's Denver and there's New England, if there's one of these teams that can pull together what a Baltimore Ravens did a couple of years ago, who is it in the AFC?
I think it'll be New England, because I think that's where the game's going to be played, in my opinion. I think they'll be there, and New England is very difficult to beat at home. I mean, if you switch it around and you go to Denver, I'd pick Denver.
But, I mean, who's that dark horse there? If anyone's winning a game they should win,
or is there one?
Pittsburgh or San Diego, or is it... or is it just those top two?
No, I think I've thought about it for a while. I think that the Colts are a scary team. I think at any time they can beat anybody. If it's not one of those teams, I mean, they can get hot. They didn't play that well yesterday, but, I mean, they're the one that I would put my money on.
Real disappointing season for the New Orleans Saints. They beat Green Bay, just shellacked them in a Sunday night game about 7 weeks ago. They lost three at the Superdome ever since. They haven't been very competitive, and that was kind of an embarrassing loss yesterday. I'm curious to get your read on even the future of Drew Brees there, Coach. Not to say he hasn't had a great career. He certainly has. He still puts up the numbers. He'll be 36 in a few weeks. I was thinking about when the Rams moved off of Kurt Warner in favor of Mark Bulger, and all of a sudden Kurt Warner was available for the Giants to pick up. Is Drew Brees' future in New Orleans as I guess, unassailable as we might think it is?
Well, I think he's still playing at a high level. I think he's got another year, maybe two. He takes care of himself real well. He's not the issue down at New Orleans. That whole team's not playing well. They don't play well on defense. The special teams isn't. They're not running the ball as well as they should to help them, which leads to more pass protection problems. But it looks to me like this team has lost their confidence a long time ago. I would have bet my house that they would win in New Orleans yesterday, and they got shellacked. So I think that they got about another year with him, and I think that this year in the draft or in free agency, they really need to get the next guy.
Mm-hmm. Jim Fossil, our guest on Brady and Walker, NFL Insider. We've been talking a lot this morning about the semi-local team, I suppose, the Buffalo Bills and their season. It looks like they're going to finish 8-8 or 9-7 and miss the playoffs. How do you view their year? I mean, they have one of the best defenses in the NFL, a young star receiver that everyone seems to like in Sammy Watkins. They have no running game, no quarterback, and no first-round pick. Where are they headed?
Well, I think they made a lot of improvement this year, and it didn't necessarily always show in the one-loss column. But when they played, they looked good to me. But you're right. I mean, the missing piece of a puzzle really is the quarterback, because they do have an outstanding defense. They played that well. And, you know, to me, you know, everybody looks at the record, yeah, okay. And you guys probably follow them closer than I do. But they look like a sound team that you've got to be better than us to beat us. We're not going to give you the game. Now, everybody gives away a game or two, but I think if they get a quarterback, and you know they can get, I don't know how much salary cap room they have. Mm. They don't have a first round draft pick, but there's a lot of picks behind it. You can get a good player. They've got it down to a focus, like you just said. They need a quarterback. They need a running back. Really, that's what they need. Well, there's a lot of teams that got a laundry list of needs. They don't have a laundry list, and the most important thing, when I got a chance to see them play, they're not beating themselves. I said that before. They're not beating themselves. So they just got to improve on the weak areas.
Jim Fossil, our guest, 831 on Brady and Walker. San Francisco, curious to get your read on the ongoings there. I know you're a West Coast guy. You see the Chargers a lot. An amazing comeback for Philip Rivers in San Diego Saturday. we all are well aware that it's probably ending maybe by choice on both sides, and Jim Harbaugh will coach somewhere else next year. I don't know. He's done a great job there, three straight NFC title games, and that's going to be hard even to replicate. I know there's no Super Bowl ring, but I don't think San Francisco as a team coach needs to change much in terms of personnel. I'm shocked by the amount of people thinking they've got to do this, they've got to do that. They're not sure about Colin Kaepernick. I'm pretty sure that's an excellent roster. It might need a tweak or two. You just hope they get the right guy in. Not that Harbaugh isn't, to run the show. I think San Francisco's still got a lot that are a lot to be pleased with.
I agree with you 100%. And just a couple thoughts is this. I would put them in the top five in the NFL with talent. That's a good football team. Mm-hmm. Number two, everybody has a bad season. Name somebody that doesn't have a bad season. I mean, it's a rarity if you don't. Okay? But sometimes the only way you don't have a really bad season is if you got a really great quarterback. All right? But I will say this. If I'm coaching, I'm a head coach of an NFL team, I'll take Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. If they want to get rid of him, I'll take him.
Yeah.
Because the kid's got a lot of talent. And when the whole team is not playing well, which they weren't, it's hard for the quarterback to be a star. So I think that they've had a bad year. I don't know what's going on with Harbaugh. I talked to him for a long time before the game when the Rams played him, and he seemed very relaxed and not angry or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes guys wear themselves out.
One more quick one from me. When you look at the MVP race, and you're probably going to see Aaron Rodgers win this thing, but does Tony Romo deserve a little bit of kind of dark horse consideration here?
I definitely. You know, and I think what we've seen this year in Tony Romo is what Tony Romo is really about. The most criticized things that I had about him was if the play started out bad, okay, say somebody misses a block on protection or a guy runs the wrong route, he continues to try to make a great play out of one that's already going in the tank. And that's where he threw all those interceptions, the bad ones and all that. This year, because they did the right thing in building that offensive line, now they got a run game. Now, with a run game, you get better protection, you get manageable third downs, and somehow it clicked into him, hey, I don't have to make all these dramatic plays. I got a run game. So I think that's really calmed him down. I mean, he's a talented quarterback. He just took too many chances.